This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. As always, I have my loyal and faithful co-host, Steve Smee, joining me.
Good evening, everyone. We are on New Year's Eve, and Trevor and I are sacrificing going out on New Year's Eve to do this podcast for you guys. It's going to be a really good show.
We hope whatever you want. It's 6 p.m. We can still go out. Maybe not Steve, because he's got an early bedtime, but I'm still going to go out for a little bit after. But
I'm an old man.
I'm back in Winnipeg now, enjoying the minus 30 weather, and we're back in the normal recording studio. So sorry about the last episode. I know my volume wasn't as good as it could be, but I'm back with my microphone and everything, and we are ready to go. So the first thing I want to talk about is, both me and Steve, we've been training for years. I mean, I've been to the gym more days than most people have hairs on their head. And the longer I've been training, the longer I've been bodybuilding, the longer I've been competing, the more I simplify things. And I see people just overcomplicating stuff so much. You want to lose weight? Eat less and move more. You want to build muscle? Go to the gym, break down that muscle, eat a high protein diet so your body has the building blocks to rebuild that muscle, rest, and then do it all over again. Like, I mean, that's losing weight and bodybuilding. Like, it really is that simple. Like, it blows my mind how complicated people try to make weight loss and building muscle and everything. Like Steve, what are your thoughts on this? Like, pretty much every day, like, we get, you know, a new guy on the forums. He wants to lose weight, and he's just overcomplicating things to the point where he's making it seem so difficult that he doesn't even start, where all he would really need to do is, you know, just start keeping track of his calories, lowering his daily calorie intake, and start being active. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not marketed. If you watch TV, Trevor, it's not marketed how to eat correctly. It's not marketed to exercise. I mean, so people don't know how to do it. Like, we see on the forums every day, like today we had a guy actually post talking about how milk was healthy and milk is good and you can lose fat drinking milk. And we had a guy the other day post about how he eats healthy, but he eats Subway every day for lunch. So, you know, we're marketed all the fucking time, all day. And there's no money in marketing health to people. So that's why people are confused. Like, if I go and tell someone that Subway isn't healthy, they look at me like, what? It's not healthy? How is it not healthy? Because that's what they do. They market it. Gatorade is another thing. Gatorade is marketed as being healthy. It's marketed as a sports drink. Well, yeah, it's got electrolytes and water in it. But what else does it have in it? It's got a lot of other shit that you don't want in your body. So, you know, I think that's what the confusion's all about. So, I mean, I hope these podcasts, you guys listen to these podcasts and kind of learn some of these myths that we've always been talking about and some strategies. Like Trevor said, you want to lose weight, you got to eat less and exercise more. I mean, it's that simple. We had a guy just post the other day. He's 5'5", 250 pounds, and he's like 38-inch waist. I'm like, dude, you want to run steroids? I'm like, do you really think if you just hop on steroids, you're going to lose fat and you're going to just, you know, become like ripped and just like magic? It doesn't work like that. You know, you've got to change the whole approach you have to your lifestyle. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. Like we always joke around, like, you know, we always joke around and stuff. Like, what do you do on New Year's Eve? You have a choice. You can either do what I'm doing and watch a little TV, watch some football, go to bed. Then the next day I'm going to bust my ass and I'm going to work to make money, you know, because I want to better myself. Or you can go out and get wasted, get a girl, bring her home, fuck her, get her knocked up, and then you got child support for the next 18 years. It's all about choices. Or you can go out and get drunk and get a DUI and end up paying $5,000-$10,000, you know, court costs and getting your car from the impound lot and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's all about choices in life, guys. You got to make the choice, all right? And a lot, big part of this is educating yourself, going on our forums, reading the articles, watching our YouTube videos, listening to these podcasts, and kind of learning, you know, and simplifying this approach. It doesn't have to be that hard.
Okay. Steve's a little bit of a cynical old man. I'm kind of in the middle here. So this is what I'm doing on New Year's Eve. So this morning I woke up, went to church, came back home, did about 2 hours of university work, met a buddy at the gym, went for a workout, came back. I've done another about 3 hours of client work. Now I'm recording this podcast with Steve. Once we're done this, I'm going to edit this podcast, film a video for the Evolutionary YouTube channel, then shower, get myself ready, and then I'm going to go out to a New Year's party. It's just like a house party. It'll be pretty tame for a few hours, be back home, probably be in bed by 1 a.m. So nothing crazy, nothing super like rock star-ish, but that's what I enjoy. You know, I don't want to be out too late because I'm meeting a friend tomorrow at the gym at noon for a workout. If I'm out too late, I won't sleep well. It throws off my whole schedule. So, I mean, it's all about balance, all about choices. You know, I still want to go out and celebrate New Year's, but rather than go to a club, I'm just going to, you know, meet up with some friends. A friend's having like a New Year's Eve party. So go hang out, watch the countdown, maybe have like a glass of champagne once the countdown's done and it's the New Year's, drive home, have a small snack, go to bed. So, I mean, that's what I did. And, you know, it's all about balance. It's all about what your goals are. So hopefully that sheds some light. Steve, you got any more you want to add in before we go to our next topic?
No, man. Go ahead. Next one.
But it's like you said, I mean, every action has a consequence, and some of those consequences are good and some of those consequences are bad. So, you know, Steve, tomorrow, he's going to wake up early. He's going to get a bunch of work done while people are hungover and asleep. You're probably going to have a great workout. I'm guessing you're probably going to train around lunch, and he's going to get a lot done. So, I mean, you can go out and party, and then tomorrow's kind of a write-off because you're hungover all day, or you can decide not to drink and start off 2018 with a bang.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to work half the day, go work out at the gym, and then work the second half of the day and try to make as much money as I can. So,
you know what I always find ironic, Steve? Everyone's like, New Year's Eve, it's the start of a new year. This is going to be the best year yet. How do they start off the new year? By wasting a whole day because they're hungover. I've always found that super ironic. You know, like what we should be doing on New Year's Eve is, okay, it's New Year's Eve. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. I'm going to do this on, you know what I mean? That would make more logical sense with people.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think Canadians are more party people, especially you live out in the sticks and that's all you guys have to do is just drink. So, but I mean, where I live, everything's open tomorrow, dude. I mean, people, everything's open as usual. People are going, you know, I talked to my dealer, my car dealer. He's going to be there at 9 a.m. to work. It's a big day, dude, to make money. Like if you, that's a great day to go shopping. It's a great day to work, man. You can make a lot of money on New Year's. So, you know, I think it's a waste to just waste it.
We Canadians drink to stay warm.
Yeah, that's all you guys have to do. It's minus 20, so.
Yeah. Okay, introduce our next topic, Steve.
Okay, so let me take it to our next topic. So this was an interesting one because you don't hear stuff like this ever. We're always used to girls coming on the forum and like saying, oh my God, my boyfriend's using steroids. I'm freaking out. But this was an interesting one that I saw posted. So, and this was a guy who actually came on the forum and he posted that he caught his wife with steroids. And he's like, she told me she's been using steroids for 4 years. He's freaking out. So I thought this was an interesting topic to bring up. And my first thought when I read this was, you know, how do you not know your wife has been using steroids for 4 years? That is really weird. Because if your wife is using steroids, she must be really fucking serious about fitness. She must be one of those crazy fitness chicks. So I'm just curious, like, why is she with you? If you are not serious about fitness, why would she want to be with you? Like, if she's really, really serious about fitness. So I'm kind of surprised about that, that you guys got married and she's such a fitness enthusiast and you're just like, kind of like ignorant about steroid use. Like, so you can tell if a woman's using steroids. Those are the chicks in your gym who, like, they have that cut muscular look. Maybe they have the wide shoulders. Maybe they're fucking doing like heavy ass weight in the gym when like most girls can't even bench the bar. So it's like, how do you not put two and two together? Like, how do you go with your girlfriend, with your wife to the gym and work out with her and not notice, wow, my wife is lifting so much more weight than other women that are her size. You know, so it's like, I don't know, I kind of find that kind of weird. So I'm just curious, like, you know, in that situation, like, I would first want to know your background and see, are you just some ignorant guy who doesn't work out and doesn't know anything about steroids? Or are you a guy who actually is a big fitness buff yourself? And you caught your wife like that. What are your thoughts, Trevor?
So first off, if it's like you said, like if a woman is using steroids, she's pretty serious. Cause like, it's not like a guy, you know, like guys kind of just like hop into stuff, but for a woman to use steroids, she, you know, she'd have to do a lot of education. Like she's probably been training 10, 15 years. I'd assume because they're married, he's probably pretty into fitness himself. So the only thing I could think of is maybe like they're kind of like diehard natural health nuts. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of like natural competitors who kind of like think like anyone who uses steroids is the devil and things like that. So I kind of think that might be where it's coming from. And it's almost like they were doing this for their health and they probably like drink like kale smoothies all the time and you know, that sort of thing. They kind of seem like, you know, like those like yoga hippie type people. But I don't know, like the way I replied to the thread is I kind of said, she took steroids. I mean, that's not great. Don't get me wrong. But what I would say the bigger issue is the fact that she hid it from you. Indirectly, why does someone take steroids? It's like getting a boob job or getting, you know, Botox or something. She wants to look good. So indirectly, she was taking the steroids because she wanted to be attractive for you. It's not like she's single and out trying to, you know, find other guys or anything. So I'd almost take it as a compliment that she would go to the length of taking steroids to be attractive and to be sexy for you, but she shouldn't have hid it from you. So the whole, he was talking about divorcing her and I'm like, dude, you're turning a mountain into a, you're turning a molehill into a mountain. But I would talk to her about hiding stuff from me rather than the actual steroids. What you got anything to build on that?
Yeah, that's a good point too. You know, she shouldn't have hid it from you, but maybe she just thinks that you're like a pussy or something and you can't handle that she uses steroids. You can't handle that she's big into, you know, bodybuilding and stuff. So maybe that's why she hid it from you. Maybe you're just a better cuck, you know? But no, on a serious note, if I was in that situation, I would probably like years ago before I knew much about steroids, let's say I was like 20 or something or 25. I didn't know much about steroids at that time. And, you know, I found out my girlfriend was using steroids. I would want to like learn like why she's using steroids and educate myself on the, you know, the health factors and all this stuff. Today, knowing what I know, I would be concerned about the side effects of using steroids, like the virilization side effects, like the enlarged clitoris, the deepening voice, the body hair, the facial hair.
Steve, though, if she's been using them for 4 years and he just found out now, and she, like, if he just found out now, she's obviously not getting any emasculating side effects. So it sounds like she's probably doing everything right. She's probably using low dosages, running PCTs, taking time off.
Maybe, but like I said, as long as she was educated and she knew what she was doing, I'd have no problem with it now. But if she didn't know what she was doing and she was getting those issues, because she might have them, and he's just too dumb to realize it. Not dumb, I don't want to be an asshole, but like too ignorant to realize it. Let me put it that way. So, because like I said, like, isn't it kind of silly to you know, go to the gym with your wife and she's benching, you know, 100 pounds, and then most women in the gym can't even bench the bar. So, I mean, obviously there's a reason for that. So she's very, very serious. If she's very serious and she's using steroids, I'd have no problem with it as long as she was using low dosages and doing them correctly. But even today, if she was abusing them, I would not like that, because I don't abuse steroids and I wouldn't want the person I was with abusing steroids. So I would tell this guy, sit down with her, you know, and let her educate you on the subject before, like Trevor said, you blow this out of proportion. You're like, oh, I'm going to divorce you. Because like Trevor said, she's doing this because she enjoys fitness and she wants to improve herself. She wants to look good so she can be attractive to you, right? So why would you punish her for that? So just, you know,
you know what I was honestly thinking when this thread got posted? Because it sounds like they've been going to the gym for, you know, 15, 20 years. He said that he found out she's been using steroids for years, and all of a sudden, what I honestly think is, I don't think she's even using Anavar or whatever steroid. I think she's probably using a testosterone booster that the supplement company labeled as like Anavar or Trenavar or something like that to try and trick a naive buyer into thinking it's steroids. I think she's probably just using like an over-the-counter pro-hormone, which is basically just DHEA now after the pro-hormone ban. So that's honestly what I think, because if someone was using steroids for 4 years, unless their source really sucks or they don't know what they're doing, it'd be pretty obvious, right? Because like she'd be way stronger at the end of their cycle. And I mean, if they're going to the gym together and stuff and she all of a sudden adds 30 pounds to her bench press, like, you know, something's up. Like, you live with her, so you know she's pretty much eating the same food. It's not like she did anything really different to her daily routine. So that's honestly what I think, because I don't think she's even using steroids. She's probably just using like a test booster or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Our next topic is gluten-free gimmicks. I love this one. I love this one. And it's sad that this is the state of society. You know, Subway, for example, we just talked about Subway. Subway has genius marketing. They just announced that they started selling gluten-free bread. So now you can get your sub with gluten-free bread. People associate the words gluten-free, vegan, paleo. They think these words are healthy. Coke is vegan. You know, soda is vegan. There's no animal products in soda. Does that make it healthy? No, of course not. And the brilliant thing about Subway is, what is Subway? Processed bread, processed meat, processed cheese, high-fat condiments. If you ask someone, is bread healthy? They would say no. What about processed meat? No. Processed cheese? No. Mayonnaise? No. Put those four ingredients together, make yourself a sub. Is Subway healthy? Oh, yeah, it's fresh. Like, whoever is doing the marketing for Subway, he is way smarter than me and Steve put together.
Well, they were marketing Jared for all these years. A guy, did Jared actually look good? Like, if Jared had no shirt on and he went to a bodybuilding competition, just like a normal bodybuilding competition, you know, like a regional one, and he took his shirt off in front of, you know, on stage, would he get first place, like in any category? Like, I mean, so
even like in his after photos, he still had man boobs.
They just, yeah. Like, so it's like, big. But they put him on the commercial with a bunch of hot chicks. Like the chicks like, oh my God, Jared, you're so hot. So it's like the marketing was brilliant. So every fat guy sees that and they're like, man, Jared's getting the women. So man, I should eat at Subway. And you know, same goes for McDonald's or, you know, they always have athletes. Papa John's Pizza, they advertise for the NFL. Papa John's Pizza, the tomato sauce is fake. The cheese is fake. The bread is God knows what. And they market this shit to people who watch sports as if like these athletes get off of their game and they go eat Papa John's pizza. They don't, okay? They don't eat that shit. And if they do eat that shit, they're not going to last long as a professional athlete. And then the same goes for Gatorade. What's in Gatorade? Yeah, it's got electrolytes. If you're sweating out bullets, it is true. You do need electrolytes. But look at the other shit in Gatorade. Gatorade has high fructose corn syrup, or had high fructose corn syrup for many years. It's got dyes which cause cancer or cancer forming. It's got all kinds of other fillers and crap in it that you don't need. It's got sugars and artificial flavoring. You don't need that shit. If you want electrolytes, all you need is water. And if you're sweating a lot, some salt and some magnesium, potassium, and calcium. Those are electrolytes. You don't need fucking Gatorade, but they market it that way. So these are gimmicks, guys. Marketing is gimmicky. Supplement companies started in the 80s marketing protein powders, okay? Joe Weider, he had the idea to slap Arnold's picture on a big tub of protein powder, which is shredded up cheese, and start marketing it. And by God, it worked. And now every supplement company has protein powder. BCAAs, pre-workouts is another gimmick. God knows. I mean, everyone thinks you need a pre-workout before you work out. Every fucking young guy thinks this.
First there was post-workouts. Post-workouts came before pre-workouts. You know, the whole Celtac, take this after your workout. You know, after your workout, you're catabolic. You know, you need to slam glucose post-workout. Then the supplement company said, so we got them taking this post-workout shake. Let's get them taking a pre-workout shake as well. So now you have to buy two supplements. Now you have to buy a pre-workout and a post-workout. So now the supplement companies have doubled their money. But now they're thinking, okay, so we got them taking something before their workout, something after their workout. What about that 90 minutes during their workout? So then they introduce the intra-workout shake. So now you have the pre-intra-post. You know, it's just a matter of time before there's the intra, take this as you're done your workout, doing your stretching shake, and then your post-shake. Like they're going to market maybe like a pre-pre or like a post-post shake. Like, I don't know what, but it's just a matter of time before the marketing geniuses add another shake that you have to add to your supplement bill.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And the shocking thing is when I tell people that I don't take a pre-workout, I've never taken a pre-workout in 20 years working out. They look at me like I'm crazy. And it's funny.
You know what's even crazier, Steve? When young guys always ask me what, because, you know, they'll hear I'm a pro and everything. They'll be like, what's your pre-workout? Like, do you take Cellucor? Do you take Muscle Farm? Do you take Optimum Nutrition? I'll be like, I take black coffee. Black coffee and 5 grams of creatine and a B vitamin. And they look at me almost like depressed because that's not the answer they wanted to hear. You know, they wanted to hear, oh, I take this Muscle Tech Vapor X5, the newest one that was released, you know, with the extra whatever. And when I just tell them, no, man, I just drink a small cup of black coffee, throw in 5 grams of creatine and take a B vitamin. They're just like, oh, you know what I mean? But we want gimmicks. We love gimmicks. We're a society that loves gimmicks. There's a reason why when you turn on the TV at 3 a.m., it's ab ripper this, it's microwave infrared oven that, it's miracle knife this. Like, we as a society love gimmicks, and we love superheroes. We love things that are too big to be believable.
Well, I mean, what it is, Trevor, move on to the next topic. But honestly, the human being, the way we evolved is we evolved to be persuaded. Every industry that ever started by someone, you know, it came up with the industry, like farming. Someone came up with the idea for farming, and then everyone started farming. So we're a copycat society, and humans have always evolved to copy each other and always look to be persuaded. That's how you get this guy on TV selling a pillow made of fucking chopped up foam, and he sold millions of them. And, you know, that's why he sells them for like $50 each when it costs $1 to make. So, I mean, because we're stupid. We're easily persuaded. So to be a con man and to be, you know, a persuaded person, that's how you succeed as a businessman, unfortunately. But that's the way it works. We're a persuadable society.
Speaking of supplement companies, our next topic is Steve Cook has left Optimum Nutrition. He just released a YouTube video saying that he thanks Optimum Nutrition for the 7 years they've been together. Basically what happened is he kind of wanted to do his own sort of signature line. Optimum Nutrition agreed to it and then basically said, you know what, we changed our mind. We're not really interested. We just want you as a spokesperson. We don't really want you as a supplement formulator or anything like that. So Steve kind of said, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm either going to start up my own company or work with a new company who will let me formulate supplements. So he basically left Optimum Nutrition. Pretty big news, because I mean, he's been their poster boy for the last 7 years. And I mean, that's a big, big company. So it just shows you nothing for life is forever. What are your thoughts on this, Steve?
Well, we saw the same thing with Jerry Ward. He was part of 5% Nutrition, you know, Rich Piana's company. And he had an opportunity to go to the companies with now, I believe, Primeval. And he had the opportunity to kind of market their products. And, you know, it's one of those things where the supplement industry, guys, it's a very cutthroat industry, okay? It's more cutthroat than what you're used to in a normal job, okay? There are other industries that are really cutthroat, but the supplement industry may take the cake. And there's no loyalty. Literally, you could be sponsored by a supplement company and the next day not sponsored. They could just cut you away and not pay you. They can tell you, fuck off, and we're not going to pay you, and goodbye. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's a very volatile industry, and it's one of those things where, you know, from a business standpoint, you could end up getting screwed. And, you know, there's a lot of industries like that. You hear all the time about in the entertainment industry, music singers, actors, directors, producers, they get screwed. They get, you know, they end up being owed this much money and they don't get paid. So what do you do in that situation? Well, you hire a lawyer and you sue them. Even if you win, what makes you think they're still going to pay you? So it's one of those things where everyone's always trying to like screw each other and stuff. So it's a pretty fucked up industry, but you know, that's the way it is. And we see a lot of this stuff in and out. So I'm not really surprised, you know, when I hear stuff like this, because everyone's always trying to make a little more money. So if he has an opportunity to make a little more money somewhere else, or if he's promised something that they're not delivering on, then he'll just take his ball and go somewhere else, you know, and he'll go somewhere else and try to do his thing somewhere else. But we see all the time, guys leave companies, they might return, yada, yada, yada. I've worked for different supplement companies over the year myself. And honestly, like if a product starts going downhill, I'll leave in a heartbeat. I don't want to be associated with any supplement companies that are putting out crappy products. So I'll leave in a heartbeat. So
I think this is a good life lesson for a lot of our younger listeners, because, you know, I train quite a few people and I get a lot of younger guys come to me. I think that's because, you know, I'm fairly young myself, and you know, they're, especially when they're 18, 19, 20, you know, it's, I love bodybuilding. My goal is to be a pro bodybuilder. You know, I think they're going to be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I said, you know, that's great. Like, let's have that goal. Let's see where your genetics are. You know, like let's take a conservative approach, but you need an education. You need a fallback plan. Bodybuilding is not a career. It's a hobby. If it ends up being a hobby that you can make some money off of, that's great, but it's not a career. Even if you become the best bodybuilder in the world, it's not something you can do long-term. You know what I mean? Like your lifespan as a bodybuilder now is about 10 years. Then you get burnt out from all the drugs and you basically need to quit. Same with a professional athlete. You know, your lifespan in the NFL, if you're lucky, 5 to 6 years. Same with the NHL. You know, it burns out your body. So I tell all these young guys, you know, get a career, get a backup plan, get a degree, go to school. If you can easily get a degree while bodybuilding. If you think you can't, you're lazy and you don't have the work ethic even needed to make it in bodybuilding. I got an engineering degree and I competed every single year while doing my engineering degree. I have lots of friends who got business degrees, science degrees, you name it, while bodybuilding is perfectly fine. It's perfectly easy. It's perfectly, don't make excuses. Cause it's just like this. Even if, you know, you're 25, you got a good sponsor, you're making good money, that sponsor could drop you tomorrow. Then what do? You're just a big guy with muscles. Is a bank going to hire you because you have big muscles? Is a law firm going to hire you because you have big muscles? Can you represent someone in court because you have big muscles? No. So always have a backup plan. Steve, any more you want to add before we move into the next topic?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, you want to have a real career and then do stuff on the side. That's great. Stuff you enjoy, whatever. In today's society, sometimes you have to work a 9-to-5 job, which you like, but you don't love, but you like because it pays your bills. And then on the side, you can do something involved in the supplement industry or bodybuilding or whatever. Art, a lot of people like art. Yeah, you can be an artist, but you're probably not going to be able to make a great living doing art, a consistent living. So, you know, it's a good idea to basically iron down, you know, a full-time job that's legit, and then you supplementing or whatever, doing something else.
I'm speaking genuinely here. When I was done my engineering degree, before I just decided to do my master's, I lived the life of a pro athlete. I was just living off of my sponsorships and training people. And I can tell you genuinely, when bodybuilding becomes your life, when it becomes your job, when it becomes your source of income, you get burnt out and it's no longer enjoyable. Now that I have a full-time job, I'm in school full-time, and I train people on the side, I bodybuild on the side, it's enjoyable because it's my escape. It's that oasis for me. You know, where when you mix your passion and work, as great as that seems, it kills your passion, because now it's a work, you have deadlines, you've got objectives, you've got sales targets to hit. It's just not the same. So, I mean, just think about this logically. Like, if you had a good 9-to-5, you go to work, you work your 9-to-5, you got money, so then you can bodybuild on the side. You don't have to worry about your grocery bill. You don't have to worry about buying supplements. You don't have to worry about paying for your drugs or anything. Think about how nice of a lifestyle that would be, you know? You got your 9-to-5, then you can bodybuild on the side, especially you got a supportive wife. You guys can go to the gym together after work. On the weekends, you can go first thing in the morning when the gym wakes up, you know, be those early birds. So that would be my advice is, you know, get a career, bodybuild on the side. And then if you have the genetics, if you luck out and you know, you become like a top pro bodybuilder, then do that, maximize that for a couple of years, and then go back to your career. So our next topic is testosterone replacement therapies and aromatized inhibitors. This is a great topic. So basically, testosterone replacement therapy is when you're using a low dose of testosterone. You're basically using like 100 to 200 milligrams per week. Do you need an AI or do you not need an AI? I don't know, and Steve doesn't know. The only way to know for sure is through blood work. It's very individual. Some people naturally aromatize a lot more testosterone and estrogen than others. It's just like how some people naturally experience gyno when they go through puberty and other people don't. So if you're on TRT, a lot of doctors don't test estrogen. I don't know why TRT doctors don't test estrogen. Mine doesn't. I had to ask for it specifically. Get your estrogen levels checked. You'd be surprised. I need an AI on my TRT dosage. And this is doctor prescribed TRT. I'm in the normal range. I'm not one of those TRT guys who's doing a cycle and just says it's TRT. You know, like I'm in the normal range. I think my levels last blood work were 750. So, I mean, that's pretty much right in the normal range. And without an AI, my estrogen was high. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head on that. I always tell guys with AIs, it depends. Blood work is the key. You really have to play around with it. And also your body changes. That's another thing that you're going to notice as you gain experience. So 5 or 10 years ago, I could have ran steroids with no AI, no problem, whatever. But now I need an AI always. So, you know, your goals are going to change, all kinds of stuff. So it's really going to be dictated through blood work. And guys always ask, you know, how much AI should I run? That's always the question. How often? Should I do it every day? Should I every day? Should I do 12 milligrams a day, 10 milligrams, 20 milligrams? Guys, you know, it depends on what you're running. It depends on your body. If you're on TRT, some guys are going to need it. Some guys aren't. So it's going to boil down to blood work. And it's very simple, you know, blood work, constant blood work. And just because Trevor's 25 and he uses an AI or he doesn't use an AI doesn't mean when Trevor's 30 on TRT, he's going to need an AI or not need an AI. His dosage is going to change. You know, it's very unlikely that you're going to be on TRT for the next 30 years and magically you're going to be able to take the same AI dose, the same amount of time, every day or every third day. Very unlikely. So at some point, it's probably going to change. So that's
There's a couple of things that change how much testosterone your body will aromatize into estrogen. The higher your body fat, the more testosterone gets aromatized into estrogen. And also the older you are, I don't know if you knew that, Steve, but as you age, your body will naturally aromatize more testosterone into estrogen. I don't know why that is. I would guess maybe because as you're younger, you're going through puberty, so your body wants more testosterone. And then also when you're younger, you know, you want more testosterone to be manly and find a mate and everything. But as you age, you actually aromatize more testosterone and estrogen. So let's say you've been on TRT 15 years. If you didn't need an AI at the beginning, you'll probably need one towards the end. Did you know that, Steve?
You know what? I noticed that for sure. But I also noticed with the weight thing or the body fat thing, that's not always the case, but it's probably most of the time, yes. Because I did have a skinny client, very, very skinny client, who had really hard time. Even if he ran like just 200 milligrams of testosterone a week, he had a really hard time with water retention and estrogen, even with an AI. He had gyno issues
popping up. You know what I kind of think that is? If you're really thin and you have very low body fat, you notice the side effects more. You know what I mean? Like when I'm shredded, I notice water retention way more because there's no fat covering my muscles, right?
So but he had gyno issues pop up, like sensitive nipples and stuff.
He's probably just a genetic outlier then. Was he a pothead or anything like that? Do you know?
No, he wasn't. I just think it's, like I said, everyone's different and your body's constantly changing. Maybe in 10 years, he won't be like that. So it's like constant. You got to run blood work. You should be running blood work anyway. Every 3 to 4 months, you should be running blood work and you should be running an STD test at least once a year. If you're sexually active with multiple partners, if you're even twice a year, you should do an STD test. So this is important, guys. It's not expensive to run blood work. You spend more on your, you know, getting your hair cut than you do on blood work in some instances, or washing your car, or any of this stuff. So, I mean, my gosh, get your blood work done.
One more thing I'll say about estrogen is very heavily involved in your body's detoxification process. So, I mean, if you have blood work done, you have very high estrogen levels, I would check your house to see if maybe there's mold. I would really take that into consideration because if you have abnormally high estrogen levels, something's wrong. I would also then get your liver checked. I would get your kidneys checked. I would, you know, check your house for mold. I would really make an effort to eat organic. I would remove all of the normal cleaners and switch them for natural cleaners. I would get rid of all, you know, regular soap and switch with sulfite-free soaps, things like that. Because all the pollutants in our environment and all the chemicals are estrogenic. So our last topic is thyroid hormone, T3, T4, TSH. So I'm going to explain what those are first. So TSH, that stands for thyroid signaling hormone. That basically signals your body to create T4. T4 is the storage form of thyroid, and then T3 is the active form. So basically works like this. Your body produces TSH, then your body goes, okay, we need thyroid hormones. So then it makes T4, which is basically the storage form. That's almost like the money in the bank, which your body converts to T3, the active form. That's almost like, okay, I need $500 today to buy groceries. Then you go to the bank and withdraw $500. So your body is constantly converting T4 into T3, which is the active form, which then works. Your thyroid hormones regulate your metabolism. So they regulate every cellular process in your body. They're very, very important. If your thyroid is out of whack, you will not build muscle. You will not burn body fat. It regulates everything. It's kind of like the engine of your car. I really encourage people to get thyroid tested regularly, just like testosterone, just like estrogen levels, because it's very, very important. A lot of people, if they're suffering from low energy, they automatically think it's testosterone. I think a lot of them would be thyroid. And especially if you have used exogenous thyroid drugs in the past, like if you use T3 on a couple of cutting cycles, it's very, very easy to permanently suppress your body's natural thyroid output. Also, if you've been, you know, on a low-term calorie diet for a long period of time, your body produces less T3 as a defense mechanism. So, you know, you might need T3 supplementation from a doctor. You know, a lot of females who, you know, do these starvation diets or who have suffered from anorexia in the past need to be on a Cytomel dosage prescribed by their doctor because they basically burnt out their thyroid. Steve, what are your thoughts on this? I really think thyroid hormones don't get the credit they deserve.
I think that thyroid hormones get overly prescribed to people. I think that most people, they get put on these thyroid hormones and they don't need it. And I think that people, I really think it has a lot to do with lifestyle choices, diet. I know this from personal experience because I know people that have been on thyroid medication and they simply changed their diet. They were eating McDonald's and Pepsi and all this shit. And they went from doing that to eating vegetables, fruits, maybe some fish, and they totally fixed their thyroid issue. So a lot of it is about body resetting. We're actually going to have a guest on a week from today, and he's going to talk a little bit about this, how you can reset your body. And a lot of these problems, anything with your body can be fixed. Your body can heal itself and repair itself if you give it the opportunity to repair itself. But that's the thing. In this society, we're on so many fucking drugs. So you, Trevor, you're on thyroid meds. You're on TRT. What else are you taking?
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you're only 25 and you shouldn't be taking this stuff like for the rest of your life. Like, and you know, this is not good. Like, that's actually not that much stuff for a 25-year-old these days. Most 25-year-olds are on like a million things, you know, like every other 25-year-old's on antidepressants and all kinds of shit these days. So do we really need to take all that shit? I mean, I don't think so. So I don't know, you know, it's my opinion is, you know, honestly, my opinion is a lot of these drugs that were taken, if you abuse them, you're going to have to be relying on them, but you can kind of reset your body and be less reliant on them if you really want to, you know, go that route. So I would say thyroid meds, stay away from them as much as you can. Like, don't use them. They're not worth it. You know, when it comes, you don't have to use them to burn fat. There's other ways. I've used T3 before, but I used it for a very short amount of time. To be honest with you, it wasn't worth it for me. I get way better results just by dieting, you know, and exercising. So that's my opinion on them.
I agree with what you said. I don't think, you know, people should jump into taking drugs like we do. That being said, I mean, I burnt out my body, Steve. I mean, from 18, I was bodybuilding and modeling and basically You take a bunch of steroids to keep your muscle. You starve yourself. And that's how that's bodybuilding. You're on a bunch of drugs, a bunch of diet drugs, and that's how you get, you know, tons of muscle and no body fat. And I did that for years. And especially doing it so young, I burnt out my body. So we all pay for the lifestyle we make. And I'm basically paying those repercussions. But yeah, number one is lifestyle. It's like I said, your thyroid is the engine of your car. If you want your car to perform like a high performance race car, you have to treat it like one. You have to feed it well. You have to sleep well, minimize stress, love yourself. So I agree with Steve. You know, a lot of people who don't have my background, they're on thyroid drugs, but they don't need to be on thyroid drugs. All they need to do is sleep 8 hours a night, minimize stress, start exercising, start eating better. Now, if you have my past experiences with, you know, performance enhancing drug abuse, you might have shut down, you know, your body's ability to produce these drugs and you might need it. So it's a very individual thing. I don't think you can kind of lump everything into one situation, but natural alternatives are always best. You got anything more to add, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we're going to have a guest on a week from now. And I think, you know, we're going to learn a lot from him about resetting your body. You don't have to just like be on, if you're a diabetic, for example, you don't have to just take insulin for the rest of your life. You can wean yourself off of insulin.
Okay, this is a great example, Steve. Yeah. So a type 1 diabetic, his pancreas has lost the ability to produce insulin. He needs to be on insulin the rest of his life. Doesn't matter what lifestyle, how much he sleeps, how much he exercises, how well he eats. Now a type 2 diabetic, his pancreas is basically just tired. Because he's followed such unhealthy lifestyle and diet practices, his pancreas isn't able to produce enough insulin that he needs. So type 1 person is going to be on insulin the rest of his life because his pancreas, it doesn't work anymore. Type 2, his pancreas is just kind of burnt out. It needs a vacation. So that's the difference, as I'm saying, is like for me, I burnt out my body. I'm not producing testosterone. I've tried everything you can imagine. I've tried Clomid. I've tried Novadex. I've tried HCG. It's dead. My testicles, they're done. However, someone with low testosterone, their body's probably just toxic and they probably just need to detox. So I'm excited to get this guest on, but I mean, they're different situations, right? It's kind of like a type 1 versus a type 2 diabetic.
Did you try prolonged water fasting like for 30 or 40 days?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So you didn't try everything. So, I mean, I think you'd be surprised, like resetting your body. There's ways to reset your body, but you have to kind of be willing to kind of think outside the box. So I just,
scares me about fasting though, Steve, is like, I'm thin now, right? Like you've seen photos of me in my shirt off. I have no body fat. If I started a 30-day fast, I'd be a skeleton when I'm done. Like there's literally no body fat on me.
We're going to talk to this guest in a week, Trevor, and bring that up because he has actually people that he's done these water fasts with that are leaner than you. Like really lean, and they still have successful fasts. But I mean, you know, so it doesn't really matter. That doesn't really matter because what happens is when you come off the fast, you're just going to gain, you know, the weight back. So the idea, there's differences between fasting for weight loss and fasting for like health benefits. So,
okay. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah. It's going to be a good show. So, I mean, just keep an open mind and, definitely, you know, anyone, please hit us up for questions. This podcast will be up. You'll have about a week to submit questions, but it's going to be a really good guest and, you know, not some cookie cutter BS guest, you know, that just regurgitates the same shit. This is going to be a guest that's going to open your minds up to a lot of new stuff. So
this isn't a guest with 100,000 bot Instagram followers.
Yeah. It's not like Jerry Ward who just like parrots the same shit, like, and doesn't know anything about weight training or nutrition. This is someone who actually knows what they're talking about. So send in the questions and we'll definitely ask them. So
we have the guest booked January 6th, 6 p.m., 8 p.m. So you guys have basically a week to submit questions. It'll probably, the show will probably be up Monday, January 7th. So keep an eye out for that. This has been another great episode. Both me and Steve want to wish everyone a great New Year's. You know, 2017 was a great year for me. 2018, I'm excited to see what it brings. Focus on the new year. Focus on improving. Focus on 2018. 2017 is in the past. Put blinders on. There's a reason why they put blinders on racehorses, because if you're fixated on the past, it's going to take away from the energy you have to the future, to the present. So focus on the future. Whatever happened in the past, it's in the past. It's history. 2018 is here. Make the most of it. Me and Steve hope you have a happy and prosperous 2018. For host Trevor Caritzen, for my co-host Steve Smee, this has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening. Thank you.